Welcome to the Advisor Arena Podcast with your hosts Jamie Malm and Josh Watson. This show is designed to share ideas and help you gain insight from some of your most successful peers. We will discuss industry news, hot topics, and challenges you may face, as well as give you some possible solutions. Thanks for joining us today. Let's get started.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Advisor Arena Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Malm, here with my co-host, Josh Watson. And as always, our goal is simple. We are really just looking for opportunities to help you guys build better businesses, serve clients at a higher level, and stay ahead of the curve in an industry that's always changing. So today we're talking about something that should absolutely be on every advisor's radar right now. It's tax planning. Specifically, what advisors should be doing as the 2025 tax season wraps up to make sure their clients have taken advantage of every opportunity available. Josh, I think this is one of those topics where best advisors really look at separating themselves from the rest of the pack.
Absolutely. I think every advisor says they focus on tax efficiency, but very few actually have a repeatable process around it. And so from what I've seen, you've seen the best advisors in a lot of cases aren't just investment managers, right? So they're proactive planners. And right now is one of the most important windows of the year. So clients are gathering documents. We've got CPAs preparing returns. There's still a number of tax moves that can be made before certain deadlines. So today, we want to talk a little bit about how advisors, some of the key things they should be reviewing with their clients and how to move through that process.
And I think you can almost consider this episode as like your end of year tax season checklist. If you're listening to this and thinking, have I reviewed these opportunities with my clients yet? Don't worry, it's not too late, but now is the time to do it. So let's start with one of the biggest things, the lowest hanging fruit, easiest thing that you should be reviewing right now, and that's contribution deadlines.
Right. So one of the most basic, but I would say commonly missed opportunities is just simply making sure your clients are maximizing contributions. So a lot of retirement contributions for last year, so 2025, they can still be made up to the tax filing deadline, which, as you know, for most clients is April 15th. And that includes both traditional and Roth IRAs.
I agree that this is where advisors can really add value, because many clients assume that if they didn't contribute before the end of the year, then they missed their chance, which of course we know isn't true. You can still make up prior year IRA contributions right up until the tax filing deadline. So simple course of action is review that for every client. If you have somebody that has a Roth or a traditional IRA, ask them, do you want to max out the contribution for last year? Maybe we should be considering a Roth instead of a traditional moving forward. But just exploring the options and the opportunities and double checking with your clients on what they intend to do or what they have the opportunity to do goes a long way.
And even for some of your higher income clients who may be above Roth contribution income limits, this is where you could use maybe a backdoor Roth strategy that often comes into play. And this is something advisors should be coordinating with a client's CPA. A non-deductible IRA contribution followed by a Roth conversion can still create, you know, a lot of long-term tax-free growth. So, but you have to pay attention, right? So that's the pro rata rule, right? So if the client has existing pre-tax IRA dollars, that could potentially change the calculation.
That gets into the weeds just a little bit on the pro rata rule, but we don't ever want to make advice in a bubble. So having access to either a CPA that you've partnered with or using the CPAs at Case Central, making sure that as you're talking through, let's say you're going to do a non-deductible IRA contribution and we're considering maybe for 2026 doing like a backdoor Roth conversion, we've got to pay attention to that pro rata rule. If they have existing IRA dollars, like you said, that changes the calculation. I heard an analogy that I thought was one of the best ways to explain this to a client. If you think of the pro rata rule like a cup of coffee with cream in it, the coffee represents your pre-tax money, the cream represents your after-tax money. Once the cream is mixed in, you can't scoop out just the cream. Every sip you take then is going to contain some coffee, some cream. That's exactly how the IRS views your IRA. If you have both pre-tax and after-tax, so again, we're talking about non-deductible IRA contributions, any Roth conversion you take will contain a proportionate mix of both, which means part of the conversion will be taxable, part will not. So some people have the intent, I'm only going to convert this after-tax contribution. The IRS actually requires that each conversion reflect the same ratio that exists in the entire IRA. So we don't want anybody to be caught off guard. It's one of the reasons why I feel like having access to a team of CFPs, CPAs is so beneficial, because you don't have to be the absolute expert in all of this tax planning. You just have to have the team backing you up that is, and make sure that your clients aren't making costly mistakes or aren't surprised at tax time. That never feels good.
Exactly. And then one other group that I think needs attention right now is self-employed clients. So if you have clients with small businesses, they may still be able to contribute to their SEP IRA. And those, again, contributions can also oftentimes be made up to the tax filing deadline, including extensions. So that can create a significant deduction depending on the income level of the business owner.
That's such a big deal for small business owners. I know we all likely have clients that fit that bill. And think about what most advisors are reaching out with. They're probably not helping their clients be proactive with tax planning like this that can give them significant deductions, like a contribution to a SEP IRA. So be proactive with that. Have the support to back you up. The other thing that I would say requires reviewing right now would be required minimum distributions, which seems odd because we know RMDs have to be taken by December 31st. The exception to that is the very first RMD you take after you turn age 73. If you had anybody that turned 73 that didn't take it, they have to take that first one by April 15th of the year following their 73rd birthday. What that also means, if they've waited to take that first one, is they've got to take two this year. So double checking, making sure that we know, do you have any clients that fit that bill, or even just being proactive and making somebody aware goes a long way to establish you as the authority on topics like this.
Yes. So under the current rules, the RMD is age 73. So if a client turns 73 within the last year, they actually they can delay that first required minimum distribution until April 15th of this year.
Yep.
But if they delay that first RMD until April 15th, they also, like you said, need to take that second RMD by December 31st of the same year. So that can create a tax problem and some confusion there.
Yeah, those two distributions, when you take them in the same year, that potentially could push them into a higher tax bracket. It could then increase taxation of Social Security. It can create an increase in Medicare premiums through the IRMA adjustment. So a bit of a snowball effect there if we don't understand the implications of having to take those two for each client. And the penalty for missing an RMD is still something we don't want to deal with, even though it has been reduced by the Secure Act, it can still be significant. So it's a very important item just to double check. December 31st for almost everybody, except those that are taking their first RMD the year following they turn 73, that's April 15th. So something to be aware of.
So let's move to something that we hear about all the time. It's been a big topic of conversation in the industry, and that's Roth conversions. Right. So this is a strategy that can create massive long-term value when done correctly. If you look at the numbers, it's pretty impressive. So a Roth conversion, just for people that may not know, is simply moving money from a pre-tax retirement account into a Roth account, paying taxes today. And then in exchange for that, you get tax-free growth in the future. So with a Roth conversion, it seems like the key is always timing.
Yeah. And again, this is where you're going to have some confusion probably with clients. They're going to ask, well, if I can make my contribution up to the tax filing deadline, can I still do a conversion? That answer is no. However, if you are making and maxing out contributions for 2025 up to the tax filing deadline, they may want to know, is 2026 then, does that timing make sense for me to take this one step further and do a Roth conversion? And I think starting point, just a basic starting point, is look at the client's current tax bracket and just ask, does it make sense? Is this a good year to recognize income? And if a client is in a lower tax bracket temporarily, it may be an opportunity. Maybe they've recently retired, but they haven't yet started Social Security, or maybe you see that that's coming next year and can say, not this year, here's when I would do it. Maybe they have lower income due to a business transition. Those are prime Roth conversion windows that we can look ahead and help them be proactive with that planning.
Right. And another good opportunity is what we call bracket filing. So if a client is comfortably within a tax bracket, advisors could consider converting just enough to fill that remaining tax bracket without pushing the client into the next one. So just for an example, let's say a client's in the 22% tax bracket, they still have $20,000 of room before hitting that next tax bracket. You might convert that amount. So that's proactive tax planning, and you're not putting the client in a worse situation.
That just proactive support and help means the world to clients. They feel like, I'm not trying to navigate this on my own. I'm not trying to figure out how to communicate effectively to my tax professional, to my advisor, and coordinate that communication. If you can help that, that's a very powerful planning advantage. So something that certainly you should be having some conversations around. If you need supporting reports and documents, we have that through K-Central, and that strategy that you talked about, filling that bucket up to the next threshold before you get into the next tax bracket, that's something you can showcase inside the found money report.
When you can combine that with future tax uncertainty, many clients really appreciate that in having both those pre-tax and tax-free buckets of money. And we talk about it all the time. Diversifying your tax exposure is just as important as diversifying your investments.
Yep, such a good point. A lot of our marketing surrounds taxes and the power of when and the three buckets of money, which would be tax now, tax later, tax never. So if that's something that you feel like, I have really got to maybe increase my communication or the way that I explain that with folks, we've got a lot of supporting material on that. So reach out to us. Let us know if that's something you want to dive into a little bit more. The other thing that I would put on your checklist here as we're doing some last minute planning would be the new tax deductions that came from recent legislation, specifically the One Big Beautiful Bill framework. Some of those changes expanded opportunities for certain deductions and adjustments that one, advisor should be aware of, but two, making sure that you're able to communicate that in a simple manner to clients.
Yes. I would say the big takeaway here is that tax laws are constantly changing, right? And so advisors shouldn't assume that the strategies they used 3 years ago are still the best ones today. And with the One Big Beautiful Bill, I mean, there are expanded opportunities in certain areas, such as business-related deductions, retirement savings incentives, and then there's multiple planning opportunities for families with varying income levels.
And we've got a nice checklist on and a summary on the One Big Beautiful Bill Act. So if you need a little refresher, maybe it's been several months since you looked at what all of that entails, I would encourage you to go out to Marketing Central, look at the summary that we created for advisors to use with clients. That can help as you're having conversations, or maybe as you're putting your social media content together, your newsletter, your drip emails here over the next few weeks, reminding them, hey, make sure that you're not forgetting this may be a change that applies to you. I also think that's where your relationship with a tax professional becomes critical. If you don't have someone locally, I can't stress enough how much I recommend tapping into the support from Case Central with our team of CPAs. And then as a reminder, that's going to be even more robust next year. Actually, it's coming later this year, but it'll be ready for the 2026 tax season, which is Tax Central, where you can actually leverage the support and resources from Case Central. It's going to be expanded into Tax Central for actual tax prep for your clients and prospects.
Yes. And what's really cool about that, it will position the advisor as the quarterback of the financial plan. So instead of the advisor reacting after the tax return is done, the advisor is going to be out there actively looking for opportunities and just bringing that much more value to their clients.
And clients love it when their tax professional and their advisor are on the same team and they're able to communicate back and forth. And it's not up to the client to try to piecemeal that together for each professional. So let's talk about something practical. How do you communicate this to your clients? We've got just shy of a month as we're recording this, because not every advisor is going to have time to individually call every client during tax season. So what do we do with the month left before the tax filing deadline?
You know, a great strategy is to create a simple tax season checklist email. And we've actually got the content for it already if people need help with that. Mm-hmm. But it could be something like, you know, there's three tax planning items to review before April 15th. You could send an email on each one or all three combined, however you wanted to do it. But the first one could be, let's say, on IRA contribution opportunities. That would be a great one. Number two, don't forget RMD deadlines, required minimum distribution deadlines. And then maybe number three is a Roth conversion planning. So I would then encourage clients to schedule a quick review meeting if they have questions, additional questions about any one of those topics, and great way to stay on top of it and show your clients you are on top of it.
And don't forget to distinguish. We don't want to generally list IRA, RMD, Roth conversion, because then people get confused and think, well, my contribution deadline is April 15th. My other deadlines are April 15th. It depends on, are you somebody that actually has April 15th for your RMD deadline? Roth conversions are not something we're going to do before April 15th, but if we want to max out your contribution to do that planning for 2026, we need to be having those conversations now. So distinguish without getting too far into the weeds who that might apply to. And I think you'll have better results rather than it feeling a little bit chaotic. The other way to do that would be to host a short virtual tax planning update. 15, 20, 30 minutes, doesn't have to be long. Invite clients, walk through the key planning opportunities. You could do it as a live event, like in office. We have a lot of advisors that do weekly, like client luncheons on different things, or you could record a short video. You could record a short webinar, push that out to your clients. And that really positions you as being proactive, being educational, making sure they don't miss opportunities that might be available to them.
Educational events that create engagement are some of the best you can do. And so not only that, your clients will really appreciate that, and that you as their advisor are paying attention to the details that could impact their taxes.
I think if there's one big takeaway from this episode, I would say tax planning is one of the clearest ways financial advisors can demonstrate additional value. Investment performance is important, but we have very little control over what the markets are doing. Tax efficiency can have just as big of an impact on long-term outcomes. And it is often a piece of the puzzle that we are kind of glossing over and just saying, well, I'm not a CPA. Change your mindset on that and help people be proactive by leveraging opportunities and strategic partnerships. So you don't have to be the expert. You just have to align them with somebody that is.
Right. So yeah, investment performance is important, but so is tax efficiency. It's just as important. Mm-hmm. So, and if you look at it, the advisors that win long-term are usually the ones who build repeatable planning systems and processes. So every season they review the same checklist, you know, contributions, RMDs, Roth conversions, tax law changes. They coordinate with local CPAs. And so when they do that consistently, their clients are going to see the difference. They're going to see the value, and it goes a long ways.
And I think that leads to stronger client relationships. It's where people start to get more referrals. They get more introductions. They start to feel like this is not such a transactional type relationship. I've got people really advocating out there for the support that we provide because it's more than just your typical investment advisory business. So I hope that everybody found today's episode helpful. If there's anything that we talked about that you want some support with to move forward with your own clients, let us know. You know how to reach us. The Advisor Arena at GradyandIB.com is our email. All of the marketing material and the content that's client facing that you've got access to is out on your portal, now called Advisor Track, under Marketing Central or Campaign Builder, where you can find the emails. But we're always happy to help you put some custom content together or support you with whatever you need. Until next time, we appreciate you. We will see you next week.